The words that are spoken, Lord, are mine. May the words that are heard be thine. Amen. Well, good morning to you, St. Cross. And what a joy for us to be joined again by Reverend Rachel. I remember my first meeting with Reverend Rachel last fall. After a tour of St. Cross, we zoomed over to a local restaurant for breakfast. You see, she texted me before that food is St. Cross' love language. So there we sat over, I believe it was eggs and bacon scrambles or something delicious, as she metaphorically described St. Cross as a place where one could find someone wearing a red MAGA hat sitting harmoniously alongside someone styling a BLM shirt. Then I didn't yet understand the importance or significance of that statement. Within this wonderful year, I think I now have a grasp of this, even as it relates to today's gospel. By the time of today's reading, Jesus and the disciples had walked together for several years. Before their journey to Jerusalem, Jesus withdrew the disciples from the crowds of Galilee to the northern part of Israel, the region of Caesarea Philippi. It's positioned about 20, 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee in the foothills of Mount Hermon. Here, Jesus and the disciples would have encountered the largest rock formations in Israel. Even today, well, via pictures I saw on Google, this area appears stunning with its red and orange rock heights, lush vegetation, and springs that feed into the River Jordan. But back then, the setting would have also been adorned with pagan statues and Greco-Roman temples standing before them. Here, Jesus and the followers may have encountered the remains of ancient Canaanite temples. They may have seen the competing influence of Pan, the ancient Greek god of nature, and the plentiful deities of ancient Rome. Here, too, they may have encountered an enormous marble shrine built by King Herod in reverence to Augustus Caesar. Also here, as elsewhere, the early followers would have been viewed with some question due to their private and quiet practices, their following of a man who walked amongst them, and their difference in worship to those they encountered. I'm sure some held the opinion that these travelers risked angering their gods, and I assume this place, though beautiful, must have been somewhat foreign and uncomfortable to Christ's early followers. And it is in this peculiar setting, dominating by competing religions and odd practices, Jesus comes to the disciples with a question: who do people say the Son of Man is? In response, some declared Jesus the reborn John the Baptist, calling for worldly repentance before the coming of the true king. While others saw him as a prophet and miracle worker, Elijah, and yet others viewed Jesus as Jeremiah or the other prophets as he spoke the words of God. And yet still others viewed Jesus as a great reformer set to challenge and topple the corrupt powers that beset their nation. As people staunchly held on to their worldly loyalties and understandings, they seem to always cast these upon how they view Jesus. Now, though he physically walked amongst them, the people overwhelmingly underestimated him. While given a degree of respect, collectively, the explanations offered of him fell far short of his glory. It proved seemingly impossible for the people to appreciate to the fullest the Son of the living God before them. So there in Caesarea Philippi, surrounded by man's abundant but woefully imperfect attempts to understand the world, Jesus simply listened to the answers to his question. Though those answers were good-natured, they did nothing to move him to respond. Instead, Jesus provides something far more intimate. He raises a question one would ask only a deeply loved companion or a cherished friend. Who do you say that I am? And in this moment, Simon Peter boldly testifies, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Please, Jesus' response is undeniably powerful. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, while this moment must have overjoyed Peter, we have come to know he had many similarities to you and I. Like Peter on a storm-battered sea, we all prove fallible. In our collective inability to fully understand and fully trust in Jesus at times, or even fully conceptualize the wonder of the Messiah, I am sure we too have proven a frustration. So it's not merely within Peter, nor within us, that we find the foundation of or the bedrock of God's church. The gateway to the kingdom of heaven is found in Peter's testimony, his answer lovingly revealed to him by God. As followers of Jesus, you and I are called to move beyond our worldly loyalties and allegiances. We are called by faith. We must recognize our worldly pursuits of understanding, be they political, scientific, or even theological, as always limited in comparison to the true presence of Christ. Our calling is to move beyond our worldly ties by speaking truthfully and independently of how we have experienced Jesus in our own lives. Like the disciple Peter, you and I must answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" but for ourselves. In this lifelong journey, as we claim the blessed gift of Christ's presence, like the disciples, we may be called into venture into places foreign and uncomfortable. We must meet societal limitations with active courage and compassion, always calling for unity. As we live into the testimony given to Peter, and therefore to ourselves, our duty is not merely to witness a hurting world, but to heal it. We are to join when encountering division. We are to love when encountering those who believe themselves separate from us. For it's when we bring peace and hope to others that we begin to utter our own bold answer to Jesus' question, just as Peter had done before us. Now, let us not forget that we may change in time. Even here at St. Cross, red may become blue, and blue may become red, and though we may gain faith and understanding one day, we may also lose it the next. But Jesus remains constant. He is today what he was in the beginning and who he always will be. It is only through our personal declaration and our living into Jesus being the Messiah that we bind what is here on earth with what is to be found in heaven. It is only through our release of worldly ties and allegiances that we may gain our passage into God's kingdom and witness God's glory and power. So, my lovely friends at St. Cross, as I depart, I happily and enthusiastically implore you to continue to sit together in harmony and in love, for this is truly a beautiful thing. Amen.